Those CBS television shows will continue if you're a Comcast customer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The cable giant Comcast has signed a deal with CBS to continue providing programming for the next 10 years. As part of that deal, Comcast will be able to expand its on-demand access to the company's television shows. The agreement covers CBS TV, Showtime Networks, and the CBS College Sports Channel. Brad Adgate is Senior Vice President of Research with Horizon Media. He's with us live from New York right now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
All right. So it's odd that we're hearing about a 10-year deal. That's a long time. Why'd they go that long?
Well, I think part of it is just to Comcast is under the, being looked at the FCC. They want to acquire NBC, a big rival of CBS, and I think there's some concerns about how big can Comcast do it. And I think this is a way to show the FCC and competitors that they're willing to play ball.
They're willing to play ball, and you mentioned the Comcast acquisition of NBC. Were there any implications alongside that?
I think so. I think, you know, they're getting some concerns about how big is big. It's a huge deal, and certainly it involves a lot of, you know, stations and the network and studios and cable networks. And, you know, these go head-to-head with CBS. So it's not like, you know, they're going to be the 800-pound, you know, mammoth that's going to control the marketplace. They're going to negotiate with their competitors.
And what do they stand to gain from CBS?
Well, I think, you know, the game they stand to gain from CBS is it's the most watched network. They have a lot of premier sporting events, including the Super Bowl and March Madness. And I think that CBS, you know, CBS gets some sort of 10-year commitment. They get, you know, some sort of 23 million subscribers. So they gain from that as well. And also, CBS is almost exclusively dependent on ad revenue. So this kind of gives them a second revenue stream that will enable them to just, you know, soften the blow when the economy goes slow.
Very quickly, Brad, I know ABC and Time Warner are in the depths of negotiations as well. Are we going to see something similar there?
I think so. I think the marketplace has been set. You know, Comcast is 23 million subs. CBS is the largest network. I think that this is the bar, and I think that I'd be very surprised if the ABC Time Warner, even though it's in the 11th hour, won't come to some sort of agreement.
Brad Adgate with Horizon Media in New York. Brad, thanks.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
All right, let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now, anywhere from a quarter of a percent to half a percent. Pretty much flat there for the Dow, which is off somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 8 points. And same for the S&P and NASDAQ as well. Markets in Europe are mostly lower today, and Asian stocks mostly rose. The National Association of Realtors said its index of pending home sales fell by more than 2.5% between May and June. A government report today showed factory orders fell by more than a percent, the second straight month of manufacturing going down. And another report says incomes are down, and so is consumer spending. But the Commerce Department says personal savings are at their highest level in a year. Now, those are all signs that the economy is fluttering, figuring out which way it wants to go. A new report says the Fed is looking at a few options to help. One idea that's gained a little traction is pouring more money into new mortgage bonds as old ones the Fed had bought begin to mature. Reporter John Hilsenrath is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and he wrote the article this morning. He's with us from Washington. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So the Fed initially said it was going to let the money it had invested in these mortgage bonds shrink, the
right
amount of money, right? Why the change of heart?
Well, some of the data has looked pretty soft. So they were going to let these mortgage bonds roll off. Now they're thinking, all right, you know what? Maybe we should just keep reinvesting what we've got to keep the money that we have in the economy still there, trying to do the work that it does.
Keep the investment going. So what else? What else is on the table, John?
They can use their language, the bully pulpit, so to speak, to explain to investors and the public that interest rates, which are already near zero, are going to stay there for a really long time. The hope would be that that would encourage more risk-taking by business, by households, with the understanding that interest rates are going to stay low for a while.
Hey, John, how exactly do any of these plans help the economy? I mean, pumping more money into bonds or treasuries, what does that mean to the guy who doesn't have a job?
Well, you know, you're asking the question that Ben Bernanke is asking right now. And, you know, the problem is everything that they're doing is unconventional at this point. So they're not sure how it helps the economy. You know, they have their theories about how it does. The idea is it helps to keep interest rates low, which, you know, which provokes more borrowing, you know, more investment by business, which could create jobs. But these are very unconventional tools, and they're very uncertain about how well they'll work.
John Hilsenrath, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, we thank you for your time.
Okay.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
Connecticut's Attorney General wants to know if there's a monopoly in electronic book pricing by Amazon and Apple. He's unveiled an investigation, and Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Most electronic books used to be priced really cheap, under $10. The low prices helped attract early adopters and push more e-books into the market. Then, a few months ago, five big publishers made a new across-the-board pricing deal with Apple and Amazon. Technology analyst Dmitry Molchanov at the Yankee Group explains what that's meant for ebook buyers.
Pretty much any ebook store that you look at right now, most of those titles will be offered at the same price. Instead of having the retailer have some flexibility in setting whatever prices it wanted, now there's pretty much a rigid price point of about $15 for a lot of these hardcover books, and I think that's what's being called into question.
Antitrust investigations are now being pursued by Connecticut and Texas, also the Federal Trade Commission and the Justice Department. Publishers insist they can't make any money on cheap e-books, and if they can't get higher prices, fewer new titles will come out. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, Bill Cosby is not dead. Only on the internet was it reported. A lot of other celebrities have cyber-died in the past few years. Cosby rebutted the claims, and in true internet guerrilla marketing, he tweeted he's alive and well and has a new iPhone app available for download. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.